Good morning. It's really good to see all of you guys here this morning. We've been looking forward to this time. We've enjoyed our time with the Fosters, enjoyed our time with Brother Garfield. We really appreciate you and have grown to love you and your family, and it's good to see the rest of your family here. And so we thought that it would be a good idea, since at the beginning, we normally preach expositionally through books of the Bible. That's what our habit, that's what we will do here at Little Red River Bible Church. That is what we have done. But we have just finished Philippians last week, which worked out just right, last week in our old location, in the Little Red River Bible Church old location. And this week we're beginning a new chapter. So we're going to do a series of sermons on the church. And this morning is going to really be an introduction to just thinking of the church. I thought about it a lot because the idea that this has been sovereign grace. Is that sound all right? A little loud? We're gonna have to adjust a little. We were in a different size and shape room before, so is that any better? Is that better? Okay. Well, Sovereign Grace Bible Church, our Baptist Church, has met in this location all these years, and so we want to think about the church. Is Sovereign Grace Bible Church gone? I just want to think about. Okay, well, just think about that a little bit. I want you to think about what is the church? That's an idea. What is the church? Is it the building? A lot of people, and I want to talk about this. A lot of people think of, I'm going to church. You think, I'm going to go to church, and you think of, that's my church that I go to. That's kind of our typical, the way we talk about it is, that's my church over there. Where do you go to church? Well, I'm a part of so-and-so Little Red River Bible Church at the end of Hayes Road. You might think that way, or across from the end of Hayes Road. But what is the church, really? We're mistaken a lot of times on the buildings. I just want to show you. Now, I'm turned around backwards, but this church on the left is Liberty. I believe it's called Liberty Primitive Baptist Church, and it's down close to Rising in South Arkansas. My great-great-great-grandfather, his last name was Lashley Woods, was the deacon in this church. And his brother came and they planted the church in this little community called Liberty. I don't remember the dates exactly. We just went to visit it. But I want to tell you, have any of you driven out in the paper company land out by Tyler or four-wheeler riding out there on the other side of Wilburn? You go, that's where this church is. If you went way out in the middle of the paper company, that's where this building is. That's where the building is. And there's a cemetery there full of people that participated in the church and lived in this little community. But you know what? The community's gone. There's not a soul around. There's not signs of anyone other than that little building there that's called the chapel. And I don't know if that was the original building. It's a really old building. I think the original one burned. But the little building's there. Well, is that church still there? Think about it. Is it? And this the other building here is the Smyrna Church out on Highway 36 in Searcy. I think that's one of the oldest, maybe the oldest building in White County that a church had met in, one of the oldest in the state, I think, or something. But I think it's a pretty building. It's a pretty neat looking building. But if you think about it, that's what we typically think of when we think of the church. Is that what the church is? Well, there's no one meeting in those buildings. Is it what the church is? Well, no. The church is not the building. I think most of you know that, but the church is not the building. The church, who is the church? The church is a person, a body. So we're going to talk about the church, who, when we're thinking of the church. Now, I put all the texts on the board. I thought, since we were starting a new, at a new time here, I knew things wouldn't go exactly right. I would just do it all different than I normally do, just so it could really go wrong. But I have the text. I'm going to have the text that we're reading behind me here. But just to begin, let's read Romans 3, beginning in verse 21. Let's pray, and then I'll read. Father, we thank you again for this day. Father, we're so thankful for, Lord, the supper that we were able to partake in together today. Father, we thank you for the death of your Son on the cross so that we might know you and that we might have life, and Lord, that we might have forgiveness and receive mercy. Father, we're so thankful. And Father, we're thankful for this time that we can gather together. We've worshiped you in song, and now we worship you as we open the Word and as we begin this new series on the church. Father, we just ask that you would give Marshall and I wisdom as we go forward. And Father, we just ask that you would bless our time together, the Little Red River Bible Church, together with Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Father, we are thankful for this new beginning that we're participating in together. And Father, we just pray that you would grow us closer and closer together, that we might be one, and that we might bring glory to you in the way that we live and the way that we treat and love one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's read Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And just to fill you in a little bit, we're going to cover a lot of Scripture really fast today. We're just kind of doing an overview. This is not going to be a regular exposition. But I just want to read some Scripture that points out things about the church, and we're going to hit some pretty fast points. And then as we go forward the next few weeks, we're going to draw these out further. But in this Scripture, we see the church. Who is the church? I don't know if you can read that, but the church is all who believe. Okay, we're talking about just the church in general, but the church local here, the church that we are. It's those of us who believe, and we see it in the Scripture here. Those who believe are justified by His grace. So it's those who believe in the propitiation, those who believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, those who put their trust in that. Those who believe that are justified by His grace. We receive that justification only by His grace. We're not justified by anything we do. We're justified completely by what He has done. And it's because of that that we can be justified. And it's because of that that God can righteously, justly forgive us of sin. And it's those who received by faith in the propitiation, well, it is received. This justification is received by faith in the propitiation in His blood. And that propitiation is the means by which those sins are forgiven. So, the foundation of the church really begins with individuals. It begins sort of with individuals who have trusted, who have heard the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and became a man. He was with the Father eternally, but He came and became a man in the incarnation. Actually, a baby. He became, you know, the Son of God who had all glory there with the Father, poured Himself out and became a weak little baby and lived a life like we live, but without sin. And He lived that life completely without sin, yet what happened? He was without sin, but then He was punished. He actually absorbed really the wrath of God for our sin on the cross. He lived a perfect life, and then He died a death that we deserve so that we might receive that righteousness that was in Him in His life. And that's where it begins. It begins with us seeing the gospel. This Jesus was God in the flesh, and He lived this perfect life, yet He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and He rose again according to the Scripture. we hear that and we see it, and God opens our hearts so that we believe it and we have faith. That's the beginning of the church. It's someone who sees that and turns to God in repentance and faith. That's the beginning of the church. Individually, you know, individuals seeing that and being born again, born to new life. So the church, who would begin there? And then 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5 says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that are like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So again, the church who? The church who? We see in this text, Peter mentions that it's like living stones, like these individual stones, like a stone, but living stones that are being built up into this spiritual house. We also see that we're being built up into this holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. And let's go on in starting in verse 6. "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous life. Once you were not a people. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So the church, who? The church, who? These living stones being built up. A chosen race. Just let these words sink into you. This is the church. This is us. These stones being built up. A chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for his own possession. Called out of darkness into light. These are powerful words, guys. These should cause us just to glorify God when we think about this. Who we are. Came from not a people, from nothing, not a people, to God's people. We were brought to God's people. We had not received mercy. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, yet we were shown mercy and turned into God's people. Okay, so these are glorious words, but I want you to notice the plurality in all these words. What's it talking about? Is it talking about, you know, I say it starts with an individual being born again. But if you notice this, it's talking about God's people. All of these things. A people for his own possession. And you notice that all of the texts we're talking about, that there's a plurality in these texts. So who is the church? Who is the church? It's God's people. Let's think about some other terms you think of. I just thought of some more, and y'all turn, you know, the saints. God's people are called the saints. The elect. The called. The sheep. The redeemed. And there's some more. We could just go on and on and on thinking about these things as we read the text. I really struggled picking a text. It's a lot easier when you have one, you know, you're the next place you have. But the church, so we know the church is those that were called, those that were born again, those that have been redeemed, those who have believed the gospel, the individuals like that, that's the church. But we notice the plurality when it's talking about the church. It talks about the church being a group of people. So the church, what? So I'm going to do who, what, when, where, and why. I'll shorten a few of the last ones so we can get finished. But the church is made up, it is made up of individuals that have been born again, individual believers. But what is it? Okay, well, let's just talk about the problem that we have with individualism as we think about our church culture that we've all grew up in. Some of you grew up here, I think, but the church culture that we've grown up in, there's this idea of individualism that we have in America. Really, we have it in America. It's ingrained into us as Americans, I think, and we struggle to reconcile the church and our individual freedoms. You know, we have these freedoms that we argue and we'll fight for these freedoms. And we bring that over into the church a lot of times. You know, it's like it's me and my faith, and the church doesn't really matter that much. You know, a lot of people think, you know, the church doesn't matter. I have this personal faith. You know, I can stay home and just maybe listen to some sermons or read the Bible. I'll have my faith. You have your faith. You know, it's all good. It doesn't matter. That's what people think a lot. But that's a problem. There's a problem as we read these texts. And if you read the whole New Testament when it's talking about the church, talking about believers. What did we read? What did we just finish studying? The book of Philippians. And who was it addressed to? The Philippians. You know, it was the church at Philippi. It was sent to the church. And you read that over and over. All the letters were primarily addressed. There's a few individual ones to Timothy and Titus, and there's a few others, but most of them are addressed to churches, to bodies. So our individualism, the way we think, sometimes makes us think wrongly of what the church is. You know, we think of ourselves as an individual going and participating in these things, like the country club or the whatever things we participate in. Maybe, what are some clubs? Lions Club, you know, there's these clubs that people participate in. And that's the way we think about it. There's a problem with that. And there's really a lack of commitment. People will go over here to this club for a little while, and then if they get tired of it, they go to this one. And most times when you see people moving from church to church to church, there's good reasons to move from churches to churches to churches. Well, maybe not churches to churches to churches, but there's a reason to leave a church at times. You see doctrinal error, things are being taught wrong, and it's in the leadership, and you have no real way to do anything about it. There's times to leave and to go find a doctrinally sound church. That's a good reason to leave, if there's a doctrinally sound church. But most times people leave because they hear the next big thing that's going on over there. You know, there's some excitement over there. And I don't remember, was it you, Marshall, that talked in a sermon about, I think it was, Marshall was, I'll use one of your illustrations so you can't use it next week, but someone, maybe it was John Walter, but someone was talking about in the Heber Springs area, how in a lot of the Baptist churches, you know, you'll see like one church is growing and expanding, they get a new preacher and there's some excitement, and they build a big building, they build a family life center, a gym or whatever. And there's excitement, you know, and everybody leaves all the other churches and goes over there for a while and they build it up. And then that's good for a little while until the new wears off. You know, the preacher's not so exciting anymore. He's not really preaching the Bible that much, but he's, you know, he was funny. I mean, he was funny and hilarious and he just looked awesome, you know, like he wore a suit. I wore this in honor of you, Mr. Buster, but anyway, and he said I look like a funeral director. I don't know, but so maybe it doesn't fit me. But anyway, you know, you think about they'll have a new preacher there that's exciting, maybe some new type of music or something, and people will leave and go over there. You know, and that church grows, and they'll be building a new building and all this stuff, and getting in a lot of debt usually, and then what happens? Well, the preacher, his jokes, they've heard them all. you know, the 10 jokes he has, and he keeps telling them over and over and over again. And they've heard his 10 sermons preached, you know, his 10 topical sermons. After a while, you just realize he doesn't have any more sermons. The new wears off, and what happens? They look for the next new big thing, and people just shift around. That happens constantly. But there's a problem with that. I mean, there's a good reason to leave, but we should be leaving over doctrinal, real things, you know, doctrinal issues, important things. What are they teaching versus just what are they doing, and those type of things. So there, we see that a lack of commitment. People are just kind of shopping. It's drive-by shopping, you know, like, you know, they're shopping churches. You know, go over here. This one's serving my needs right now. Well, this one quit serving my needs, so I'm going to go over here. This one can meet my needs better. They've got a new whatever. And that's what we do. But we need to remember the plurality. The church is different. The church is not something that we go to be served by, which it is. But it's not something we're not shopping to find the one that fits. There's a plurality there. We need each other. The church is made up not just of us individual. There's a different thing. So the church, what is it? Okay, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 17. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So we have the who was the individual members that make up the body. So you have the individual members, but here he says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Think about it. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? You could see real well, maybe, but you couldn't imagine walking, you know. There's no sense of hearing. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ. We have partaken in the Lord's Supper together as the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And individually, as believers, those born again, you are members of it, of the body. There's something more to the church than we sometimes give it credit. There's something more important here that's going on here as we meet together than what we often think. So from that text, the church, what? So the church who is the individual members? The church what? In one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So by this one Spirit, those who believe were baptized, were died to their sins and born again to new life were baptized into one body. So we have one body, but we have many parts. The parts are different, aren't they? I mean, some of us are really more different than others, you know. And I'm really different, you know. Dalton, look at Dalton. I'm sorry, Dalton. Dalton and I have known each other for a long time, so I pick on him. But we're one body with many parts. And just think, if you said, do I really need that thumb? Have you ever tried to pick up something without your thumb? What if I said, what about this left hand? I can't write with it. I can't do anything with it. Have you ever broken your hand or something where you can't use it? I mean, you know, just think about that. Well, if we think about that, the church of Christ, the church that Christ purchased, the church that Christ set aside, the church that Christ put together, is made up of those purchased by that great price. The death, the burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So there is no part of that body that He put together, that God institutes, that He puts together, that is insignificant. We all need each other. So when one of us thinks, I'm going to go shop and go to the next big thing down the road, you got to remember that. You're part of a body. We need each other. We really need each other. I need you. You need me. And I'm sorry, I think I repeated a slide here. So the church, when? So we have what it is. It's a many parts put together. The church, when? And I'm going to be pretty short on this, as we'll talk about it some more as we go forward. When we gather. And Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So as we gather, when we gather as a church, it's really significant. So we know what it is. We know that it's these born-again believers that are brought together in this one body with many parts. And even the things that we think are insignificant, like my thumb or my left hand. How about my right thumb and my left hand? They're all significant. Each one of you is as significant as any of the others. I know a lot of you don't go to church here or you're visiting, but wherever your church is, these are things to think about. But when the church meets, it's good to really prioritize that as believers in our lives. When the church is meeting, we're there. We're there with the church. And what about when we're apart? Okay? I wanted to throw this in there. So is it just when we're meeting as a church, as a body? I just wanted to put this out there. For when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. You know, this text, I've thought of it often, you know, and I've heard it preached often that this is talking about the church gathered. You know, if three of you are together, there's a church there. But in the context of this, this really is in the context of church discipline. What this section, I'm not going to talk about it all, but in the context, he's speaking of a brother who has strayed, and it's talking about when three are together and they agree, and they're bringing this brother before the Lord or doing discipline on him. He's talking about binding on earth those things that are brought before the church for discipline. That's not talking about when the church exists. So when the church exists, when it is, okay, we're a body of believers, individuals. When is all the time. You know, as we go through our week, are we the church? Are we not the church except for when we're gathered here in this building? No, we're the church all the time. We're believers in Christ. We're those bought by a price. Our lives are His. They're His. Our lives are His. He owns us. And as we go through our days, we need to really think of each other. Think of being the church through the week. You know, we call one another. We check on one another. We do those things. We disciple one another. We meet together. And those, so the church exists. The win of it is all the time. Be a part of a local body. Be there when they're meeting. Make that a priority in your life. And also think of them whenever you're not around them. Make that a priority. As we leave today after we eat and we go home, this church, Little Red River Bible Church, does not cease to exist when there's not three of us gathered here. So remember that. The church, why? Why? Now I'm just going to hit these pretty quick. Well, not real quick. Let's read this text. This is Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain, notice that, building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The church, why? What does Paul say here? Well, the church, why, to begin with, is because the Bible says so. I'll say that. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be a part of the church. It doesn't talk about Christians individual. It doesn't. Have you seen an example in there where there's a group, where there's a Christian just out there by himself? It's not there. You know, in the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, when the monasticism started and all those guys started going off into the desert to be by themselves, that's not in the text. You know, they were under persecution in the church for all those years. All of a sudden, Constantine makes it legal to be in the church, and it's good. You know, it's part of the, and so all of a sudden, the thing that had been driving them was gone. You know, there's no more persecution. I wasn't really intending to talk about this, but there's no more persecution, and what do? How can they be a devout Christian? Well, they would go off by themselves and try to not speak these vows of silence and sit and pray so many hours a day and live by themselves in the desert, just trying to prove themselves righteous is what it amounts to make themselves right. Well, that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible shows us being together, you know, being together, living our lives together. The church, why? It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary to equip us to live out our Christian lives. We cannot live our Christian lives apart from the church. It won't work. It just does not work. We need one another. And for our building up in maturity into the body of Christ, for us to grow in knowledge of Him, and to protect us against false teaching or false doctrine, or you know, there's false doctrine coming from all directions. How are we protected by that? By being together in the church, under sound teaching, and for one another. And the last one, for His glory. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So the church, it matters. The church matters. The church is important. It matters to you. The church, God uses the church to bring us along in our sanctification. God grows us by the church. God disciplines us in the church. God gives us avenues to show love toward one another. Where? In the church. That's where it all takes place. So the church matters. So as we go forward thinking about the church the next few weeks, just think about it. Think about these things, about how important it is in your life, in the life of a believer. And if you've not given it a significant importance in your life, I'd encourage you to dig into these scriptures, dig into some others, and see what living the Christian life is about. As you, like when we read through, when we studied through Philippians, what was it talking about in there? Love. It was talking about love. And the whole book is about love. And you could see the love of Paul towards the church at Philippi. And then you could see him encouraging one another to get along and to love one another. And we see it all throughout the scripture. And we can't work that stuff out. We can't do those things and enjoy the blessings of the fruit of the Spirit, that, you know, the love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, without being in the church. So it's important that we have a strong relationship with the church and be around the church. And so I just encourage you to, I hope you enjoy as we go through the next several weeks talking about the church. I hope this will be a blessing to us. And next week, Marshall will be preaching on the Word, which will be our focus here, the Word of God in Little Red River Bible Church. And I also want to say, for those of y'all in Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, that, you know, I showed those buildings up there. You know, those were old church buildings that there was no one there, you know. There was no one there. But did those churches go away? Those churches didn't go away. If they had believers in them, maybe they moved on or something, but the building was empty. But the church didn't go away. The church is always there. The church will not die. The church will be here. And so Sovereign Grace Baptist Church has not gone away. I want to make that clear to everyone. It's not gone away. We have joined together, and so we're going forward as Little Red River Bible Church, but the church is there. I mean, Garfield has watered this work for all these years. He's planted and watered and done those things here. And that work has not gone away. It's just going forward. It's just going forward. So let's approach it that way. And I think we are. I think we're looking forward to the future. And all of y'all that are Garfield's family that aren't here all the time, I want to assure you that his work here was not in vain. It's going forward. We're going to keep on going. And we're going to try to grow. We're going to try to let God use us as we preach the gospel and teach the Word of God to grow this church, beginning right here, as we grow together and out. That's what we pray for. And let's pray, and then Marshall will come up. Father, we thank you for this day. It's such a special day. I thank you for all the hard work that was put in by everyone that's worked on the building. Father, I thank you for Garfield Foster and his whole family. Thank you for James and Roger and their whole family, for the Lord, just for allowing him or being alongside him as he served for so many years, as he prepared week after week to preach the Word. And Father, I just thank you for him. Thank you for the sweat and tears he put into the work here, and all the hours, and I'm sure sleepless nights at time when he's thinking about the future and what's going on. We thank you for him. Let us not forget to honor men like Garfield as we go forward. Father, you have told us that we are to honor men like that, and we honor him. We thank you for him. And Father, we thank you for the fruit that we see in his family, and thank you for his family that's here. And Father, we, as we go forward as a church, I just pray that, Lord, that we will be a people that don't see this as just something we're coming to do as a hobby or some add-on activity to our life, but that the foundation of our lives is the redemption we received in Christ. The foundation of our lives is that supper that we participated in today. That is the foundation. Let us live our lives out of that truth of the gospel and what you've done for us. Let us live our lives that are driven by that. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to grow closer together as we already have. We just pray that you would continue, that we would be one, that we would be together, that we would be a healthy body that does not overlook the insignificant parts. Father, that we would see the necessity of participating with the church and going forward. And Father, we just want to praise you. And Father, we just pray that as we grow close together and as we function as a healthy body, we just pray that you would be glorified in all that we do. We know that you will be glorified in all that we do, because we would not be here if not but for the work that you have done. And you have built the church, and you will receive glory from it as we faithfully do the things that you've shown us to do, as we preach the Word and Lord, just love one another. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.